Thank you very much for the
project. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just need to also apologize. There's a colleague of mine who is with me, Mr. Mohlala. He will be joining me any moment. We just had a little problem with parking. He is the head of the cartels division at the Competition Commission. We started this investigation on collusion in currency trading, largely as a result of information that was already in the public domain, emanating from some of the investigations that were being conducted elsewhere in the world, in Europe in particular, the United Kingdom and the United States. Honorable members will recall that there was a big investigation around interest rate fixing, and this extended later to currency trading. And we ourselves were monitoring the situation very closely, and we also started talking to some of our banks without an investigation, really seeking to understand how far the conduct might have taken place, and whether South Africa was in any way affected. We received some information then from various sources indicating that indeed there was some trading involving the rand and the US dollar that was subject to this collusion. And in April 2015, we then officially launched an investigation. We also made members of the public aware of this investigation. We do that sometimes because we do want people to come forward and provide us with information, including some of the people who are being investigated. We give people a fair chance because we also have a corporate leniency policy which is based on whoever comes first to disclose everything. We discovered in summary that there was collusion taking place largely through a trading platform which is owned by Reuters, and this is where bidding and offers occurs for currency, and there would be extensive communication amongst and between traders through another platform, which is a platform owned by Bloomberg. They would seek to coordinate pricing so that if, for instance, one had to buy the rand, you would then ask other traders not to bid so that the price for the rand would go down and you can buy at that moment. And if you needed to sell, they would create an impression that there is a lot of demand, sometimes even through fictitious fees, because you can cheat the computer, the system, by creating the impression that there are bids. So this is what we found, and we did also find that this was then reinforced through telephone calls as well as meetings. Meetings were not always possible because the traders were based largely in Johannesburg, New York, and some in London. So there were some telephone calls, there were some meetings where this was possible, but really what we discovered was the system. It's very hard to say that anybody who was trading in that system was not involved in the conduct. So it seemed to us, and we initially started with only a few of the bank, we expanded the investigation to cover a whole lot more. We did, through the investigation, receive a leniency application from Barclays / APSA, which cooperated and also gave us more information, and we have a conditional agreement with them on immunity, but this is subject to confirmation depending on the extent of their cooperation. We also appreciated that this is a highly complex investigation. It's very hard. I mean, the system itself, you need to crack it, so to speak, and it's very hard to do it from the outside. We needed some of the insiders to assist us to crack it. We have managed to do so. We are running the case, and we have realized that we would need more witnesses on our side, and we have subsequently entered into discussions with Citibank, who are relatively small in South Africa and therefore would have played a less role in the trading of the rand, and we have agreed with them that they will testify for us, and we, as of yesterday, filed the agreement we have with them, with the tribunal, which includes an admission of guilt, as well as a fine constituting 4% of their turnover in South Africa. This amounts to just under 70 million. So this is where we are. We have referred the case now to the tribunal. We are expecting to hear from the answers from the banks. The South African banks involved are Standard Bank and Investec, as well as, of course, APSA. We also have worked with our international counterparts in this investigation. As I said, a lot of this trading occurred in the United States as well. We together with some of these authorities, we are looking at the same witnesses. And so it was very important that we coordinate so that we don't have a situation where we could compromise each other's investigation. So I think, Chair, that is the brief about banking.
Thank you so much, Bafana Kelleb. I think the five banking sector investigation. I don't know if you have any questions, members. Thank you. May I start with the committee, Mr. Mbata, Dr. Ziani, Dr. Kado.
Thank you very much, Competition. Thank you very much, Competition Commissioner. As you know, the rand is one of the most tradable of the emerging market currencies. And as a result, obviously, is quite a useful currency to be able to trade in, and obviously where people are trying to maximize their profits through the various schemes, we can see this happening here. My question to you is, through your relationship with all the other competition commissioners that you have around the world, how widespread is this sort of thing going on cryptocurrencies? Is this a fairly widespread? Is this a widespread activity of banks? I mean, I see in the paper that there was an issue in the States. I think where people were fined in 2013. But I just want your feeling, and maybe in your communication with other competition commissioners around the world, how widespread is it?
Thank you very much, Commission. My question is, knowing the possibility that the majority of these banks have substantial interest in both private companies in South Africa and also in equity companies or venture capitalist companies, is there a possibility that these activities, by their very nature, subsequently tender illegal profits to these financial banks, capitalists, or these equity players? Because that kind of relationship cannot actually be arrested to a formal bank or what you call the corporate finance. Thank you, Ambassador. Does it then?
Thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, we just want to express our appreciation, Dr. Bonalele, for the good work that your institution has undertaken in this instance. Although we are worried that the kind of publicity from the media that you receive is not necessarily equal to the task. We expected more because this is huge. My question is, given the fact that the investigation started years ago, and it was only recently that you could wrap it up, how did it affect you and your organization throughout these years, knowing that this bank that you were investigating will continue to trade while you suspected them strongly that they were actually breaking the law all along? How did that affect you? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Commissioner. I've got a number of questions. Firstly, were there any political considerations in the timing of the announcement of your referral? In that regard, when was the investigation finalised, and what caused the Commission to announce the referral exactly when it did? Secondly, could you tell me which banks have been offered leniency? Were Standard Bank and Investec given the same opportunity as some of the other banks that you mentioned? And in that connection, are there any other settlements besides the 70 million rand one that was announced with Citibank yesterday on the cards? And if so, are you able to give us any insight into what those settlements might entail? And then next, I'd like to know, is it possible that the collusion that the Competition Commission is alleging took place in this case, is it possible that it could have caused the rand to trade at a meaningfully different value against the dollar in any way? How were individual bank clients harmed? How are you going to be able to determine the nature and extent of that harm? And have you had any interest from individual parties in lodging civil claims against the banks? Thanks.
Thank you. That's the last part of it. Because it involves our people. And it's very important to hear the people's any other questions? About the beginning?
Thank you very much, sir. My chair, first of all, we really wish to welcome this investigation, chair. You see, Competition Commission in this country became one of our strongest pillars in in terms of really fighting corruption. In the sense that we are really pleased to see this kind of movement. Because if you look at ever since 2008, 2007, where there was problem of resilience that goes up and down. Now, there are people who are supposed to assist this government, but they are just taking the money out of this country in bad ways, in bad faith. Now, you know, killing the very same, this ANC-led government that is trying to build a prosperous country, make sure that we go forward. But the unfortunate part, they are taking this money for themselves, not for the poor at all. Now, when we have to deliver houses, you know, in terms of the budget, this thing really came back and hit this government very hard. So that's really the viewpoint that we're very happy with this progress that is being made by this commission. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
Any other?
Thanks, Chair. With the advent of the settlements, in the instances where we have already started the negotiations with those parties that want to come forward, I just want to ascertain in your stated assumptions of what constitutes a fair settlement, because more people lost jobs in all sorts of industries in our country. In fact, the mining industry was severely affected, and it has never recovered ever since. And in fact, through the collaboration between equity players and venture capitalists and some of the international mining companies, more money even went outside the country illegally. And these were through sophisticated ways of killing the rand with an aim of making sure that our commodities are hit hard. Now, will you make sure that in your negotiations you find it within your heart to really place the life of ordinary workers that has never been recovered ever since? And if you are able to do that through legal instruments, what is it that Competition Commission can you advise both civil society within the mining communities? What is it that you can advise them to do to attend civilly to some of these banks? That's one. Two. What is it that the government can place as a legal tool to force these banks in some way pay for the activities that they did to these specific communities? Because you can draw down as to who was affected. Because sometimes you get into these agreements, but legal is finding its way into Temba, Sanele, somewhere in Marikana, who lost almost everything as a result of this impact.
Okay, thank you. Please try to be short. Dr. Connie.
Thanks, Chair. Just a very brief question. Is there any chance of the criminal liability provisions that were enacted from May 1st last year being brought to bear on this case, or does all the alleged collusion predate the necessary enactment of those provisions?
Thank you. Thanks, Bonagay. The Bloomberg platform, it only is in South Africa, it only used by six banks. What were the other, the role of other banks? Were they not involved at all? So that we know that they are excluded because they were never involved. Or are the investigations still on? Perhaps they might come out later on to say yes. We were also involved, but to a limited extent. We just want to know that. I omitted to welcome a youngster here from Nelson. national strike in Mpumalanga. Lukanyo Beza has just been admitted to the decision. Student in the social science faculty. I think this experience is really going to be helpful for her as she continues with her studies. Welcome, and all the best for your studies. Okay. May you respond?
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I agree that we have also observed that the rand is one of the most traded currencies in the world, particularly amongst emerging market currencies. And another unique feature about the rand is that almost 70% of it is traded outside of South Africa. And what this suggests also is that there would be a lot of speculation around the rand. People would hold it in order to speculate. Maybe it is because of these features that the conduct was quite widespread, although the conduct was quite widespread in that it involved other currencies. The US, for example, was looking very closely at the US and Euro currency pairs. I think without disclosing much, it's fair to say that the rand was really where there was a lot of evidence of wrongdoing, observed not just by ourselves, but by our other authorities as well. So it seems to us that the conduct, yes, was widespread and involved multiple currencies, but it's not an exaggeration to say that probably the largest assault was on the rand. I think I would leave it there because I should perhaps have prefaced this by saying that people, not just ourselves, are running these cases before courts in the United States. For example, they are ongoing proceedings, and we do not want to compromise anybody's case. But I think it's in the public domain that there are criminal charges in the US, and those are focusing particularly on the dollar and the rand. As far as we are aware, this is where the case is strongest. The illegal extension of illegal benefits to other firms, be they private equity and so on, we have not done a study on this, and I think on this matter it's better to stick to the facts. I think it's okay for members of the public and even politicians to talk about what could have possibly happened, but I have to stick to what we found. We haven't looked at how far the impact would have been. That would require a lot more detailed study to arrive at a conclusion. And insofar as Honorable Mata, your other question about what government can do to assist and or control banks, we have brought this to the attention of are both the Reserve Bank and National Treasury. We have informed them when we started the investigations, and again after we referred the case, we did brief them. We know and have participated in the process that Treasury is running of trying to come up with better regulations for banks in the form of a specific market regulator. I think Parliament has been seized with that work as well, of creating or rather converting some of the work that FSB is doing into a specific banking regulator. We have made proposals in that process to strengthen the regulation. I think there has been some gaps, which is why there has been that regulation introduced. There has been some gaps identified, and I think those are being attended to as far as we know. We, of course, as a regulator outside the financial services, so to speak, do have concerns that we are talking to Treasury about regarding banks, and I think many of these things will become clear as we run our case. The one particular issue, for example, we have raised before is just how they can be closely monitored. So things like trading, for example, everybody knows is a high risk area for this sort of thing, and maybe it does need to be monitored fairly closely. Even in area of measures involving banks, we think that there are areas in the law that could be improved. For instance, the one issue we are worried about is when African Bank collapsed last year, we had authorities encouraging, so we understand, banks to rescue African Bank, and all the top South African banks, all the big four, became shareholders in African Bank. We looked at that transaction and we were very worried about the structure that it was creating in the market, because it meant that banks could now be shareholders in that entity. And that entity would have to compete with them. So we understood as well that you know, this needed to be done for financial stability and other reasons. And we have encouraged, in fact, when this was notified to us as a transaction, we were considering imposing conditions that would require the banks to exit that sort of to relinquish that shareholding within a time period. That didn't work because we have limited jurisdiction. Our jurisdiction can be taken away by the Minister of Finance on banking transactions in terms of the law, which did happen. So we think that there are things that can be strengthened, including how measures themselves can be regulated. So there are many things involving regulation of banks which can be improved. We are working within the state to make sure that this does happen. But maybe let me leave it there. The issue around civil claim, as I've indicated earlier, Chair, we have not done a study on the impact. So a lot of this will be anecdotal, and to some extent may even be speculation in terms of who got affected and by how much. We have not done that. We ourselves, by law, don't bring civil claims. We have said in the past that we would be helpful whenever we can be in terms of providing information for those who may want to bring civil claims, but we ourselves prefer to stay out of that process for a variety of legal reasons, again, because in a sensitive market like this, you have to stick to your mandate. I think on how we feel, knowing that the wrongdoing was happening when we were investigating, it's a bit of a difficult situation, but we have to be to keep being professional and keep confidentiality, and I'm very happy that we were able to do that even under these circumstances. So one would have hoped that they would have stopped when they heard that there were investigations that were being conducted. But we were not really interested on when they stopped. We were interested on what we found, which was that at least from 2007 this was happening, and the onus is on them to show us when they stopped, because, I mean, we are not involved. As part of the compliance obligations on those that we settle with, even those that get to the tribunal, part of what we would be asking is when did they stop, and how will they make sure that this does not happen again. So that is still in process. Were there any political considerations in the investigation? Absolutely not. I think it would be very risky for an authority like ourselves to do that. I mean, I'm personally old enough to know that coordinating when to press charges can be a big problem. And so we don't do that. We work on our own calendar based on what we are able to find at a time that we find it. So this was a very complex investigation in itself. I think we kind of had an idea already before the end of last year that we would be pressing these charges, so to speak, against the banks. But there's painstaking work of then drafting papers and making sure that you are ready by the time you need to refer the case to the tribunal. So we did all of this, and by the 14th we decided that we were referring the case. That's after we ensured that we were ready, and the case was referred just after that. I think on the 15th we filed our paper. So that is that. We of course value our autonomy, and I think everybody in the room can appreciate the sensitivity of this sector, and I do want to particularly commend the government for letting us do our work without interfering. Were Investec and Standard Bank treated the same? Absolutely. The leniency policy, we put it out there. It's not always popular with everybody, we appreciate that, but everybody knows it, and I think every competition lawyer in town also knows. So everybody is on absolutely equal footing. But it's based on time. So if you have decided to sit and wait, then we will bring the case, and we would go for maximum penalties, both to deter the conduct, but also to show that if you do not come early and cooperate with authorities, there are consequences. So it's very important that we keep that credibility and be consistent. And there is no reason why we should act differently in this market, and that's what we will do. We do not have any other settlements at the moment, and there are no discussions to settle with the other banks at this stage. Is it possible that this affected the value of the currency? The aim of the traders was to affect the value of the currency, because that's what they are trading. They are trading in currency. So it's either the currency is expensive or it's cheap. And so there was no other purpose of this. It was to affect the value of the currency as well as the commission that traders were getting paid. The only issue, Dr. Cardo, that can be debated, and we have not researched this, is whether this had a long-term effect on the value of the currency. So if, for example, you want to weaken the rent today, for how long can you sustain that, and how much volumes of trade do you need to be able to sustain that weakness? Because remember, traders, they are doing it's transactional, that you transact today. So you want it cheaper today. It doesn't necessarily mean that you want it cheaper over a long term, because maybe in the long term you've got it's the other way around. You want it stronger. So it's a very complex exercise that one would need to undertake in order to determine the full impact. And we don't necessarily have to do that for the prosecution. But I think people have been asking this question, and I think we would encourage that perhaps that exercise be undertaken. And I'm not sure if it can be undertaken by ourselves to look at whether this might have had a much wider and long-term effect. But I emphasize that absolutely the purpose of this collusion was to affect the value of currencies, more particularly the rent. Any harm to consumers? Of course, a link between the value of the rand and what consumers ultimately, because this is the currency in their hands, very difficult to quantify. But I don't think anybody can make a suggestion that there was no harm, because the strength of the rand that is in your hand is what you have to buy goods and services. And so when that currency is weak, it then would impact on you. By how much, I do not know. I also know that there are big buyers of currency for a variety of reasons. People who want to import things they have to buy currency. And so these would be the first line of people who were affected, because the impact there would have been more direct. I do not know if anybody is thinking about civil claims. As I said, that's a little bit of a separate process from ours. The Bloomberg platform is a global platform, Chair. It was used by everybody, including those who were trading and communicating from New York. It is a common platform of communication among traders. It is the most widely used platform, more particularly for rent trading all over the world. And this is where they would signal to each other how much orders they had and how they could help each other in terms of their profit target, their profit targets, and so on. The other banks in South Africa, so far, we have not decided that there was evidence for us to pursue them. This is an ongoing matter, and we simply can't. We don't know. What we have found, I think we have now put it out to the tribunal, and the case will run its course. I'm not sure, Chair, if I've left anything else, but I've tried to cover a bit on my notes. Perhaps my colleague may help. The settlement fairness is, of course, a matter of judgment. I would say that it was low. The settlement was low, and as a prosecutor, sometimes we have to make these calls because we have a bigger case to run. I think we are running this case very well. We are having evidence and witnesses, and it was important that we have witnesses who are fully with us, and there are some compromises that then we have had to make tactically in order to be able to move forward. So I'll just leave it there, Chair.
Thank you very much, Babona Kevin. I know your responses might have triggered more questions, but I think we have to understand that the investigation is still going on, and really not want to dig even further than what we've been given. I think it suffices that you were able to disclose as much as you have disclosed. And I think as this committee you are reporting to as the one of the economic regulatory bodies reporting to it, we would really call you again so that you from time to time update us on the investigation. But I'd like a situation where we give you some time to really even conclude the work that you are doing. Then come to us, you know, when you're ready, and you're able then to give information to everyone else. But I also understand the predicament the committee might find themselves in, whereby they always hear information in the media before they could hear it. But I'll remind members also that they have a website where they post most of the time this kind of information, especially on the recent cases that have concluded, those that are still under investigation, those that they intend to, you know, investigate. And in that way, we can, you know, keep ourselves abreast with information. Once more, I'd like to thank you very much, Mr. Bonakete, for the briefing and also for the type of responses that you've given us. Also want to commend you on the work that you're doing. I can imagine it's not an easy task, especially this one that involves global players, especially in the financial sector. It's not an easy one. Seated, I wonder how hard has it been to really investigate this type of a case where it involves global players. But all we can say is good luck and continue doing good for South Africa. You have a mandate that South Africans have put on you, and you have full confidence from us that you can be doing a good job. Well, obviously in terms of civil or maybe the public interest issue, we'd want you to do more, and I think that opportunity will come to us when we do the Competition Act amendment, the Competition Act amendment, to really make sure that whatever you are doing and benefits, you know, the people at large. Because the people are the ones that get robbed in that process, and therefore they must really get a record. It cannot be that always they get crumbs. They must get something out of the whole process. Thank you for that brief. Can we get another one? Especially, I don't know if we have any other one to give us.
Chair, I thought I would take the opportunity to brief you on the work we are doing in the auto sector. I've noted the request on construction, and I have asked that perhaps be referred directly to the department, because they were the one handling those discussions with the sector. But I would be more than happy to brief you on the work we are doing, because it's quite been in the public domain as well, and I think we somewhat need the support of everybody to deal with this auto sector issue, if I may.
Let me clarify the one on the construction sector. Yes, it's true. I think the minutes in our last meeting when you briefed us on the issue did indicate that he's busy with the negotiations with the top five, the big five, I think, construction companies, and we're in the process of reaching an agreement. And I think that agreement was going to happen first after all. There was a statement issued to that regard, and I think in the next week's presentation from the department, perhaps you can also request that we get that included in the presentation. It is true that we cannot ask the Competition Authority when they see the conditions. Thank you. We can give you. Yes, we can give you the time to brief us on the auto sector.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I can speak more freely on this because we don't really have officially an investigation yet. We haven't lost an investigation, but we're doing a lot of advocacy work. We have identified a problem as a result of a number of complaints we have received regarding the aftermarket in the auto sector. This is the market where after buying a car, you then need to maintain, service the car and repair it if it gets damaged at panel beaters, for example. We've found that this market is closed because there are exclusive agreements that that restrict where you can service the car and repair it, and you can only do this in the authorized dealership, which although they are independently owned, they are branded more like franchise of the manufacturer. This is where you also buy the parts for the car, and this is enforced largely through warranty provision. If you don't do that, you lose your warranty, simply, and sometimes through conditions by insurance companies. This has a huge impact on SMMEs, because there are many people who could be running workshops, servicing cars, qualified people, and we are saying that you can even put quality controls if you want, but there's no reason why if anybody qualifies should not be allowed to service the cars. Panel beating is even worse, actually, because panel beating is also highly restricted, particularly for luxury cars, and this affects pricing, because the few who are able to do the work tend to charge a whole lot more, obviously, because they have no competition and you have no choice. So this does impact on the people who own the cars. We have done a study on this, on what happened elsewhere in the world. We have found that, in fact, this problem has been solved in many parts of the world. We've looked at Europe and the USA. We have looked at some of the BRIC countries. We've looked at Russia, India, and China, and all of them have pretty much solved the issue. We have worked very closely, in particular, with the Russians, because the Russians did some soft regulation by getting the industry to sign a code of conduct on how they would open up that market. The Europeans did it by regulation, by requiring the companies to open up the market. So the different countries have used various ways of doing this. Maybe what I also did not emphasize was that this also affects, of course, those people who may want to manufacture parts. Because if you wanted to manufacture parts, they will never make it to the market because you are outside the network of these companies. Even if you wanted to trade with parts, and I know sometimes people raise issues of quality, you can check quality on parts, you can test it. So if you were trading in parts, you cannot trade in parts you need the original parts that are manufactured or supplied by, even if they come from the same factory, because sometimes they come from the same factory, but they are just traded different. So we have met with the industry. We are not finding justifiable answers for these restrictions. We have met with the DTI. We have also not found justifiable answers to this. And it was important that we meet with the DTI, especially because we know that they have all sorts of incentives for the sector through industrial policy. And so we needed their support in getting this changed. We are talking to the sector. We have a meeting with them now, and we are calling all the key stakeholders on the 17th of March to try and see if we can resolve this without having to prosecute individual cases, because it's an industry-wide practice. I should say that there are auto companies that are very helpful and think that the sector can be opened up some more. Some of them are not as restrictive. Actually, you can service their cars, you know, anywhere. So they are applying different models, but it seems to us that this is going to be a very big victory for SMMEs if we are able to open up that market. And we do unashamedly call for support from everybody to put pressure in the sector to open up this important segment of the economy. So, Chair, we will probably update you on this after that workshop in March on what the way forward is. If we are not able to get everybody to do the right thing, of course we will have to come back to the drawing board and see if there are cases we would need to open. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bonafeda. Any other questions? I mean, any questions related to this subject? Dr. Kadu?
Thanks, Chair. Commissioner, I wonder whether you could give us any indication of what legislative amendments are in the pipeline announced by the President in the State of the Nation address, when he spoke very, very clearly about collusion and cartels and the need to bolster the Competition Act. Can you give us a flavour of what's to come? Flowing from that, and just going back to the earlier meeting very quickly because it's related to this, I'm very appreciative that you made it clear that the Competition Commission values its integrity and autonomy, and you were paying that in your view there'd be no political interference in the bank collusion case thus far. I just wanted to get an indication from you. Is it possible, as it is when you have dealings around public interest condition in large mergers where the minister gets involved, is it similarly possible for the minister himself to get involved when you're negotiating settlements with the banks? And if so, has that happened yet?
Thank you, Dr. Kado. And that is the end.
Chair, thank you very much. This is not a question, Chair. It's just a brief comment. I think some of us in this committee want to state very clearly, Chairperson, that we appreciate the independence of the Competition Commission, the fair manner in which they are doing their work. They fear no one. they investigate everything fearlessly, and the result of their work is pleasing to the eyes of many South Africans. And I think all of us should be encouraging them to do more, because they've proved to themselves. They don't pander to anyone. They do their work very professionally. And I think it is in the interest of the majority of our people for us to indicate to them that we don't treat them with suspicion and so on. Of course, it is our duty to do the oversight. But when an institution is doing its job very well, I think it is incumbent upon ourselves to express that appreciation, because it's important to give people encouragement when they do well. So in this particular instance, I think the Competitions Commission is one of those institutions of government that our people can really be proud of. So I think the Economic Development Portfolio Committee must not be shy to express this appreciation. Of course, we expect them to do more. In this particular instance, the matter that he has just reported on, which involves panel beating, is very close to our heart, because many of our people are really into that business, panel beating. So if they investigate this matter and there are some findings there, and ultimately the sector is opened up so that our people can come in there, that will be appreciated. But all I'm saying is that it's important for us to give them encouragement and not treat them with suspicion, because they are really doing a good piece of work. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Glenn, for the comment.
No, thanks, Chair. I don't know whether I'm entering or carrying now. I want to talk on the last part of the question of the card. But I don't think it would be fair for us as a committee to ask the commissioner to talk about whether the minister is or is going to be involved in the negotiations. I don't think it is fair that we should ask him that question. Thanks.
All right. Babu Konakele can respond insofar as the legislation is concerned with regard to the role of the minister or the government, you know, can play in ensuring that the public interest issues are taken into consideration. There was, of course, an amendment done to that regard, and perhaps it's important to use this platform to clarify the public interest clause. What does it involve? What does it, you know, require of every citizen of this country to do? I think if you clarify that, perhaps it will come to everyone's understanding. I think if you clarify that, all of us to understand. But before you do so, I think we, from my side, I'm happy that what you started somewhere last year is beginning to bear some fruit. And I think you are, in a sense I'm concerned, you are hitting the right nail. The fact that you managed to look at the issues that you've just alluded to, I think you really will be salvaging our people a lot, especially from some of these monopolies. At the moment, I don't think I would say anything further, because this is something that you're starting, you're still going to process, and as things unfold, I think you'll also be able to come and refer on that. and then, or even if before you finish, when you feel that you are in a position now to brief us, we always have a phone call away. Please do so. Otherwise, may you respond to some of the questions that were raised.
Chair, the question about amendments, I will not answer because
that's
the minister's
view of
space
to me.
The issue about the role of the minister in prosecutions, I think, is also very clear that this is the domain of the competition authorities. You also should, of course, appreciate that this is a regulated sector with the Minister of Finance playing a crucial role. I'm sure that he will have something to say about this in the near future, because ultimately he is the one who must make sure that the regulation is effective. And so when there has been problems such as this, you would expect them to do something. And so in that regard, we have to empower them, we have to talk to them, we have to alert them to some of these issues, as in so far as protocol, of course, is concerned. We do speak to our minister when there are things to be conveyed to the Minister of Finance. And so that channel is open. It's not a secret. We have to do that. But I emphasize again that I think everybody has been very professional in this on this issue. And in fact, the Reserve Bank itself has a huge mandate currently when it comes to this. They too, I think, in their statement, made it very clear that they would let this process unfold, and when it's complete, they will take the outcomes and see what needs to be improved. So I think that I think in my view it's been handled well. On this auto sector, Chair, maybe just my parting shot would be that maybe you do. It's a partly a policy matter. This partly how government wants to relate to the auto companies as they come into the country. And of course, we know that they get a lot of industrial policy support because of the jobs they create. But we think that they can create even more. And maybe you should consider talking to your counterparts in the DTI Portfolio Committee to make sure that this work is supported, because ultimately it's the DTI that has all of these industrial policy incentives, which can also be used to get the industry to change.
Thanks, and I think talking on behalf of the committee, I know that they've been saying a lot on the incentives, you know, especially to the particular sector, the incentive packages. They've been questioning it in all our meetings, I know for sure, and the questions have been directly posed even to the players in the industry. So I know it's one of their interests. So we'll continue doing so, and we will be collaborating a lot with the trading industry, and we will, not only on this particular matter, but with other matters, as we open up, you know, the space for other role players, especially the previously disadvantaged. It is our role to do so, to collaborate, so that we can be able to include as many as possible. We be very happy with what you're doing. That's all. Thank you so much. We're very happy with the work that you're doing, and thank you very much so far. We've had your deputy also really communicating the work that you're doing. Because to us, that's a very important issue. Don't just do work and, you know, it gets limited to your offices. You must give people, you know, information so that they also understand what an animal are you, what type of an animal are you. If they need to respond, they must be able to respond. But it's better to respond to something you know rather than something you don't know. So you're actually making it easier for you. Thank you so much. And I think we'll end it here with you. Members should remain so that we can continue with our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
May we take 5 minutes break? Yeah. Okay. I'm advised that we can even take 15 minutes so that we can see outside. Thank you. Can we come back for a minute? Yes.
Do you know when he's like to come? I don't know.
We never thought.
I bet you're not gonna.